Thank you for everybody for being here.
Yes.
Thank God for this opportunity. Thank you, Anna, for inviting me. So pretty much everybody knows me. I'm Brenda Brannon. I've been a member of this church for over 27 years.
Wow.
And I have recently retired, as most of you know, after 35 years with the state. I worked for the Department of Children and Families, but I was in the administration. So I wasn't a worker, but I was administration, so I got the calls. And I have four kids and probably about 11 grandkids. So I raised my kids. My oldest daughter was living at home when she had her first child. So Trey was our first child, her firstborn. And when she left, she was in the Army, she left, and when she had her kids, they all came back to my house, and I raised them while she did her tours. Mm-hmm. So when they moved back with her, when they finally got with her, Trey came back after he graduated, and he stayed with us probably about 2 years. And then he worked, and he finally got his own home, and he moved out. Then his sister came back after she graduated. She graduated with magna cum laude in high school. She stayed with us for about a year, year and a half, and she finally moved out. She first moved with her brother, then she went to finish her school in Orlando, so she graduated with her bachelor's degree, magna cum laude. So I'm proud of both of them.
Yeah.
So then the youngest son came back. He came back in his last year of school. He called and said, "Can I come and live with you until I graduate?" Because all his sisters and brother were gone. So he didn't want to be there by himself. So, okay, we'd come back. And so after he was there for a while and went to school, and it's like, okay, now you finished school. What are you going to do? So he finally joined the Army. And the only one that didn't come back was his brother, Breon. He had already joined the Army. So he went to the Army after school. So I said, "I know the kids come back and stay, but I didn't know the grandkids came back." So they were in and out of my house. The only child that came back was my second oldest son. He came back, lived with us for a while, and it's his two girls, and I brought them here when they lived with us for over a year. So once Elijah moved out, we thought everything was all well and good. Then Michael's parents moved in, so
oh
we're like, okay, we don't ever get this house to ourselves. So they moved in with us, they're with us now, and we're taking care of them, and I thank God that I'm able to do that, although it takes its toll on me. Certain things I didn't expect, but praise God that we're there for them. And then in the meantime, my youngest daughter had her third child, and she passed she was 2 months old, and she passed. So there's a lot going on in my life for this last year or so. But anyway, so just continue to pray for Tiffany. So now my journey. God is a keeping God, because he's kept, those songs, I'm sorry, everybody, but they were a blessing to me, and I was hoping they'd be a blessing to you guys. The words meant a lot to me and what I've been through. So God is a keeping God, and I believe that God had his hands on me at the age of 5 years old. I had spinal meningitis when I was young and had to be admitted to the hospital. And since it was contagious, only my parents were allowed in there because after they suited up, they had me in a tent, nobody could come in there. And I was getting shots for that. And my mom said I got so many shots in my hip, the needle started bending. So he kept me, he had something for me to do, obviously. And to this day, I still can't stand up really straight. I have to make myself stand straight. I got to really sway back because it kept drawing me back. And I remember days when my mom had to give me some medicine to keep to keep the spinal meningitis at bay, I guess. So we weren't really churchgoers per se. I didn't grow up in church with my parents. They sent us to church. So I remember them sending us to Sunday school that, you know, we went to church, but they didn't go with us. So I was always in Sunday school. I was always going to church here and there, but never with my parents. So through the years, as I grew older, fast forward, I was different from a lot of my schoolmates, teammates, and they used to pick at me all the time. They used to call me the goody two-shoes because I never did the things that they did. I know I was different. I knew I was different. I knew why I was different, but they used to always pick at me. So that was rough years growing up with them. You know, I still go to church because I had my grandmother's going to church, so I still went to church, but they didn't. And then I got married in my early 20s. And my husband was in the Army at the time. He went to Texas. And when I was in Texas, I remember I had this strong feeling that I needed to know more than what I knew. I wanted to know more about God. I was away from home. I was homesick. So I couldn't really figure out what was wrong with me. I used to cry. I'd tell my husband, and he said, you need to go see the chaplain. And when I went to see the chaplain, he wanted to talk about my marriage and what's going on at home. I wanted to talk about the Bible and about God. So that didn't last very long. So I used to go home and pray. And I used to pray, God, help me to be a good mother, a good wife. I don't want to die. I felt like I was going to die. You know, if I go home, Lord, I want to go home, but I don't want to, you know, die on the way home, you know, on the plane. And I used to go to work. I worked at a factory. I made Sassoon pants. I don't know if you remember those Sassoon jeans. I used to sew the pockets on the back of the pants. And so I used to take my breaks and go to the bathroom and pray and cry out to God. And when I go home, I would pray. And I would go in my bathroom, and I had a little, one of those little Bibles, and I would go into the bathroom and pray. And the whole while I was reading that Bible and praying, I was shaking like a leaf. I mean, I couldn't stop trembling so hard. So I was reading, I think it was in Matthew, about the desert. What's that scripture? Oh my gosh. Let me see if I wrote it out here. It says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to go back home, so I was remembering that script, reading that all I was reading, and I would, you know, every word that, man lived by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So I was afraid to fly back home, but when I got back home in Florida, I always went out to clubs dancing. And my older sister at the time, before she passed away, used to take me out to the clubs. And we would go out, I would keep her company, we had fun. And then when she was invited to a tent revival. So she invited me to go to the tent revival, and at first I wouldn't go. Like, I know I don't want to go, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. Even though I've prayed while I was over in Texas, the Lord saved me, you know, his word and all that still. So, but then after a couple of weeks, I finally decided, okay, I'll go with you to this tent revival. So I went, I lost your rope. So I went that night with her to the tent revival. I remember the evangelist at the time, and it was an original, you know, actual tent with the dirt, you know, yeah. The seats and all. So it was all, the whole nine yards back in the day when they had the real tent revivals. He was calling people up to pray. So when he called me up to pray, he would take a hold of my hands, and he prayed, and you know, they were just praying and shaking. But then I just took off. I started shaking after that, and I couldn't stop. And so they were telling me, no, let it go, there's God all over. I was hearing this, but I didn't know what was going on with me. So I was shaking so hard, and I fell down on my knees, and I continued to shake, and I didn't know what was going on with me. So my grandmother was visiting me. When we got back home from the tent revival, she said, God got a hold of you, and what God did to you then, he will continue to do to keep you through the years. And I didn't know what she was talking about. It's like, well, yeah. So My sister's friend that invited her to the tent revival invited me to her house to pray with me, because now she's witnessing to me and she's reading out of God's word, and we go into her bedroom to pray. And that's the first time I experienced the evidence of God's spirit and speaking in tongues. And God got hold of me again that day, and I shook like a leaf and fell to my knees, but then I fell back. And then that's when I started with the spirit, speaking in the spirit. And I didn't know what was going on then. So that was 2 weeks before I went to Germany. Now, I'm 2 weeks in the Lord. I'm new in the Lord. Don't know nothing about the word. Know nothing about the Bible. But I go to Germany, and over there, I could have backslid. And this is where I think, again, God kept me. Because I could have backslid when I went to Germany, because I didn't know anything. But he kept me while I was over there. So over there in Germany, I was still hungry. I was still reading God's word. I was still praying. And at the time, I had a vision. And in Germany, you have these big windows. They open up. These big windows, and in the window, I could see this lady coming. I could see how she was dressed from head to toe, exactly what she was wearing. And I believe it was the next day that lady came to my house, and I was like, I saw you somewhere. Again, I don't know what's going on. I saw this lady, and she comes to my house. I did not know that she was a Jehovah's Witness. But in the dream or the vision or whatever I was having, and I didn't know the word, so this is weird to me. I heard the words, pledge unto her the path of righteousness. I'm like, well, what does that mean? You know, but at the time, like I said, she was Jehovah's Witness, and I didn't know it. So but I was reading, and I was praying, and I wanted to know more, and I wanted to know the truth. So I decided to go to church with her because, well, maybe I'm supposed to be with them. But this is another visit from the Lord. While I was there, I was trembling. I was not cold. I don't know why I was trembling, but I was trembling really hard. And I felt like, this is not where I'm supposed to be at. And they said, are you cold or anything wrong with you? Can we get this? I said, no, I don't think I need to be here. So they took me to the back, and I, in the back room, I was still trembling. And the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice. Never had done that before. Didn't know what was going on then. Letting me know that this is not where I'm supposed to be at. And so I stayed back there until the service was over. And I told the lady that took me there, I said, I need to go because I can't, you know, stay here. So I knew nothing about Jehovah's Witnesses. I knew nothing about the truth or about the word, you know. Not as much as I know now, but. So I believe the Lord spoke to me again. And then again, this is God keeping me, you know, for the truth, because I wanted to know the truth. And so I went, did find, people were inviting me to church, you know, because being up in the army and knowing all these people and my husband's friends, so they were inviting me to church. And finally I got to a church that I felt like I was home. Yeah. Like, this is it. This is where I'm supposed to be at. And I start learning there, and then when the pastor said, does anybody have anything to say? And I jumped up and said, I need to be baptized. I didn't know, but it just came out of my mouth. It's like, oh, we can do that here. So I got baptized when I was in Germany at that church. So in that church, I started to growing and knowing more about God and his word, you know. Let's see where I'm at. Sorry. I was beginning to learn more about God's word and his righteousness, you know. So I looked up the word pledge because I'm thinking, why did God say pledge her into the path of righteousness then? If I'm at this church, I need to see her again so I can let her know the truth, you know, so I can, you know, let her know what this is all about. So I don't know. The words that I look up that it would have made sense to me was to initiate or a former pledge or promise to do something. So I don't know. I didn't ever get that chance. I think I've seen her before. I mean, I've seen her again, but I never still got that chance, but I still didn't know what was going on. And so I felt like I had it backwards. Instead of her taking me or teaching me the truth, I was supposed to be showing her the truth.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But what I, you know, wish I knew then what I know now, but anyway, so I got pregnant with my third child while I was in Germany, before I went to Germany, I had my two older kids. And so they went to us in Germany. So I got pregnant with my third child, Antonio, in Germany. And I was as I was going to church, I was shouting and enjoying the Lord. And it was just such a joy to be there. And I knew where I was supposed to be, and I loved it. And so when Antonio was born, he was always smiling. So people would look at him and say, how could you have a bad day when you look at him and all he do is smile?
Yeah.
And he does that even to this day. When he smiles with his eyes. So his eyes just close up. So that was a blessing. So he was always smiling. And so we were in Germany for about 18 months or so. And then it was time to go back to the States. And I didn't want to go back. But at the time, my husband at the time was getting out of the service. But he got an honorable discharge because he was getting out sooner than what he was supposed to. So I didn't want to go back to the States because I loved where I was at. I loved the people. I loved the church. And I was going to cry. It's like, I don't want to go back. But God kept me while I was in Germany. I could have backslidden. I was in Germany for, like I said, more than 18 months. But I was so hungry for God's word and for God. He kept me while I was in Germany. So I was thankful for that. And so that when I returned back to Florida, I was pregnant with my youngest daughter, Tiffany. And they had given me a contact information for a church while I got here, when I got here, so that I could continue to go to church and continue to learn and grow. So I contacted these people, and that was another church. It's like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be at. It was a blessing. And I loved those people, and I grew, and I think I went there for like 14 years. And I grew in the Lord, and they were so good to me. And when I needed cars, you know, God gave me a car twice. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to buy a car. So I was doing the women's Bible studies. You know, I got started with the newcomers, home Bible studies. And so I was just got really involved. I was in the choirs. I was really involved, and I really enjoyed going to that church and being with those people and learning more about God. And so while I was there, after that, my marriage to my ex-husband was on rocky grounds. And he was doing drugs, and we thought about staying together for the kids, but that didn't work. But he always did drugs, and I thought that was the way of life. I was young when I married him, so I didn't know no difference. But it got worse, and I'm thinking that that's probably one of the reasons why we had to leave Germany, because he was getting so deep involved in it. But they gave him an honorable discharge. So if he went to church with me, he would go to church he was pretending. He wasn't going to church for himself. It's like, if you're not going for you, it's not going to help us, because you can't do this for me. You got to do it for yourself. You know, had to do it for his own heart. And so while we were together, he was on drugs, and he was taken away from the family. He would take money from us. I was on food stamps at the time, and they had the book food stamps. It was like money, actual money. So he would take our food stamps. He would take food out of their fridge. And when he worked, he didn't work very long. And before when he got paid, he wouldn't bring his money home. He'd take it, you know, and stay gone. So we just couldn't make it at that, you know, our marriage was not going anywhere fast. And while I was there with my ex-husband, I was raped. And I think this also had something to do with drugs. And this is another place God kept me. This is another testimony. He kept me because the guy who was there had a knife at my throat. He said, I'll kill you if you say anything. And I know where your kids are across the room. He knew my kids were there. And it's like, so I just lay perfectly still because I didn't want anything to happen. So, but he didn't stab me. He didn't do anything to the kids. So God kept me. He kept my family, because I laid there till daylight. Didn't go to sleep. I just wanted to make sure my kids were okay. And when I got up, I checked on the kids, and then I called the cops. And then I also called the church. And the pastor came to pray. And this is another place I think God has kept me. He kept me through that marriage. He still took care of us. You know, when I first got saved, I had some clothes that I threw away. So since I threw those clothes away, God, he had always had a way of clothing us. I always had clothes to wear. I always had clothes to wear to church or to work. My kids always had clothes. So he provided for us. And God kept us. And he kept, you know, took care of us through all that. So that's another way, like I say, God has kept. Of course, we ended up getting a divorce. And then I was divorced from him for about 4 years. And I thought that we thought that we could get back together and make it work, but it wouldn't work because he's still doing drugs. So I said, no, this wouldn't work. You know, he came to the house and he stayed the night. He thought, you know, I thought this was going to really work, but it didn't. So I'm a single mom with 4 kids. And it was hard, you know, with 4 kids. But God kept me when I was even a single mom with 4 kids. I had an LTD station wagon one time. I think I've shared with some people the LTD station wagon, the gas end didn't work. And, you know, the LTD station wagon is a big, big station wagon. And I worked in Rockledge, so I never knew when I had gas. So I would drive to work, not knowing if I got gas. I know when I filled it up because, you know, I know when it stopped, it's got enough gas in it. So I always filled it up to go to work. But then when it was running out of gas, I never knew, but every time it ran out of gas, I was at a gas station that can coast up to the gas station. God kept me going up and down the road. So I thank God for that, you know, keeping me to go to work back and forth in that big station wagon. But through it all, you know, he just showed himself to be faithful to me. So I moved in with my sister when I had the 4 kids, after I had divorced my husband. And we moved into a house, and so we were sharing half and half of everything. She was there for probably about a year, if that long, and then she decided she was going to move out, but she didn't tell me that. I happened to come home from work one day, and she was packing. I said, well, what's going on? And she said, I'm leaving. I'm like, what? Wow. You know, now I got to do this all by myself. I was like, God, how am I going to do this? You know, so she left, and I had rented that house, and I think I stayed in that house for another 10 years. So God kept me, and he took care of me while I stayed in the house with 4 kids. You know, so I remember a time when it was just too much for me. I would lay down on the floor in the hallway just praying, like, oh, I can't do this. And the kids come to me and say, Mom, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, oh, it's okay. And I would have to get up and just brush it off. But he kept me through that. And it's just amazing how God, you know, when it was time for their rent, or if it was time for the water bill, if it was time for the light bill, how he always provided, you know. So that's how another reason why I think God kept me through all that. So like I said, I was at that church that I was going to like 14 years, and I felt like God was calling me out for some reason, because I feel like he was teaching me at that time. So he said, now that what I've taught you, I want to know if you've learned what I've taught you. So, and that is, this is the comfort zone in this church, you know, getting fed the milk or whatever. And it was, I didn't want to leave, but I felt like God was calling me out. And I read this scripture that says, well, the foxes have holes, or how the Lord keep you. I don't know if I put that one down in there. Yeah, Matthew 8:20. What it says, I kept praying and reading the word. I remember reading the scripture, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. So I don't know what that means, but I know I wasn't going to church at that time. So I just had to depend on his word and for him to lead me to where he wanted me to go at that time. So again, while I was not in church, I still read God's word, I was still praying, and God kept me while I wasn't going anywhere. So when I found out about a church that was doing street ministry, and so I wanted to know what that was, because it's like, okay, this is where I can show that I still, you know, learned what God has showed me and standing on his word. So I went to this street ministry, and that's where I'm going before I started here. They would feed the homeless, and we would feed them like hot dogs or hamburgers, and we had drinks for them. So we would feed them, and the prayer was to clean up the streets. And We did that for many, many years, and I went to that church. And to this day, the street is cleaned up, you know. But that's where I met Michael, on that street ministry. I remember seeing him. They were talking about how quiet he was. But when I seen him, they said when he talked to me, that's the most time he ever talked. So I met Michael at that street ministry. It was a Full Gospel Deliverance, it was called at that time. And so we dated for a little bit while. When I worked in Cocoa, at the time Michael was living in Grant, and he drove his bike from Grant to Cocoa to meet me for lunch. You know, that was a keeper. And I know one time when we were dating, we came here, they had this, I forgot what it was that they called, they had a concert at Mickey, or what's the name, the, not Mickey Mouse. Disney World. All I can think of is Mickey Mouse. He bought tickets for us to go to Mickey Mouse. Like, well, I'm just dating him. I mean, I'm just seeing him. I wasn't even thinking about dating at the time. I was like, I'm just seeing this guy. I don't know if I want to go all the way over there with him. And so he gave me those tickets, and I think he paid $500, whatever he paid for those tickets. And I said, I don't feel comfortable with going with you. So he gave me the tickets, and I took my oldest daughter. That was another keeper. So he gave me those keys. He said, that's fine. Here, take them. Take your daughter. Or take your kids or whatever. So me and my oldest daughter went, and we had fun. So he went from riding his bike to driving a car, and then we went from going to McDonald's to going to Red Lobster, because he was getting disability check at the time. He wasn't working. So we finally got married in 1994, and Gary and Bonnie attended our wedding, which was really nice, and I was impressed. I thought they were very nice people. And then we started coming here, which was New Covenant Fellowship at the time, and Jim Mayer was the pastor. So we started coming here. I remember when I first stepped foot in this church, the love that I felt from the people, from, you know, God's love, it was just so drawing, so I enjoyed that. But after so many, after like 5 years or more, so Michael and I started having problems. But before I met Michael, he was a victim of a crime. So he got shot, you know, point blank in his face. And so after we met, he decided he wanted to do reconstructive surgery. And he did that. He was taking bone from his hip. That didn't take. Took bone from his leg. That didn't take. His body was rejecting his bone, and he had poison in his body. So he stayed in Gainesville for like a month, I believe, or so. And I had to go back and forth to Gainesville. So he was, of course, had to take pain medicine. So when he was taking it, and he came home, they sent him home. He had a halo to keep his jaw together, so he couldn't do anything. And he was taking pain medicine. So when they released him from that, of course, he wanted to continue with pain meds because he was also doing drugs. I never had him or noticed him drinking or anything like that. So he was addicted to the pain medicine. So that's why we started having problems. And that's like, not again, Lord, I can't do this again. You know, I was about ready for another divorce. We went to Bonnie and Gary, and they counseled us during our marriage. And so I went to Hope Ministries for counseling for about a year. And there was a time that I was coming to church by myself and Michael wasn't coming. And then when I finally finished that ministry, then when they called him in to talk to both of us, he signed up for this other ministry, Overcomers, at the Zion Church they were having at the time. And he went there faithfully. So we've still diving in and out, but again, God kept us because I was ready to go. I was getting all my ducks in a row, you know, getting ready to, you know, I wanted to get a divorce, but God started ministering to me. I had to look at my life and what I had to do as a wife, you know, my walk with the Lord. And I knew that if I did what I had to do, that God would do what he had to do in Michael's life. So I saw him move in Michael's life without even talking to him sometimes. I would just pray. And sometimes I knew specific, and sometimes I just prayed general because I didn't know. But I saw God move in Michael's life and saw him do, you know, things that I would pray, I would see, you know, evidence in Michael's life. So I was thankful for that. So here we are 27 years later. We're still hanging on. Being a member of this church, I'm coming to the end. Yay! Being a member of this church, now I serve as an usher, a deacon, and I'm a teacher for the 3 to 5 year olds children church. And in the past, I also worked in nursery for years. I did that for a long time. And then I've also served with Anna in the budget mentoring class. But before, in the beginning, Michael and I went to that budget mentoring class, but she didn't know that. So that when God, when she asked me, and she said, I know that's God, because we've been through it, and she asked me to help her with it. So I did. I did that for a little bit. I took a sabbatical because I had so much more going on in my life now. So, but that is... that is my experience with the Lord, my journey. I tried to give you some of the highlights. I could have told you more, but it's going to take a lot longer. But, you know, and here, like I said, 27 years later, God's still keeping us today. And I'm being, I thank God for being here for me. And but my journey isn't over yet. I'm still on the highway to heaven. So I thank God for keeping me all those years, and that's why I shared those songs with you guys. Okay.
Is there anything specific that God wanted you to pray over the group or individuals?
I didn't have anything specific, no, but I did have a song I thought would hopefully minister to the group, if I could share the song.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
Turn this off?
Yes.
Do I turn it off for the song? Or?
Turn that off.
I didn't know if you wanted to
have the song on there.
Sure.
Okay.
We can leave it. Yeah, we can leave it.
All right. Well, like I said, I didn't have anything specific, but I do have a song, another song that kept me through the years that helped me as I went through this. So pray for me as I try to sing. I don't know if you guys have heard it before. I sing a lot of songs at the Home Fellowship, but praise God. When I pray, I can tell the Lord all of the things that I've been through, and when he answers me, he'll direct my mind, and he'll tell me what to do. When I pray, I can tell the Lord, oh yes I can, all of the things that I've been through, and when he answers me, he'll direct my mind, and he'll tell me what to do. So when I pray, it's a blessing just to know. Oh, when I pray, somebody cares for me. When I pray, I know Jesus will see me through. Oh, when I pray, I know he will. He said that he would. He'll fight my battles if I would only keep still. Oh, Lord, when I, when I pray. He's not far away. He's right there when you pray. He'll help you to carry your heavy load. Just try him for yourself. You'll find out that he's the best. You won't need nobody else. So when I pray, it's a blessing just to know. Oh, when I pray, somebody cares for me. When I pray, I know Jesus will see me through. Oh, when I pray, I know he will. He said that he would. He'll fight my battles if I will only keep still.